Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bob B. from University of California, Berkeley, once said that there are no such things as pure natural disasters, or very few such things as pure natural disasters. He said it in the context of our discussion about what the nation calls Katrina, the flooding of New Orleans in 2005, pointing out that it had huge human fingerprints all over it. I'm reminded of that, of course, in the last couple of weeks with, first of all, the murderous rampage here in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, which, as we discussed, as I discussed here last week, involved the timing of the replacement of the bollards which keep automobiles from driving on Bourbon Street. The timing was set to be ready for the Super Bowl, ignoring the fact that before that game came the Sugar Bowl and New Year's Eve, for which the bollards, as you know why now, were not ready. And then there, of course, is this week. Human fingerprints angle to the spectacularly disastrous fires in Los Angeles and Southern California. The fingerprints in question involve the ability of the Los Angeles City Fire Department to be prepared for such a huge disaster. The as you I'm sure know by now, the LA fire chief went kind of ballistic on Friday, criticizing the mayor for lack of funding to have the fire department sufficiently prepared for something as massive as what has occurred. They seem to have made up, or at least they seem to have agreed to pretend to make up. The mayor in question, Karen Bass, started the week of human frailty, let's say, with a press conference on Thursday in which she made the following announcement.
This is a big, but make no mistake, Los Angeles will rebuild stronger than ever. Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles together is how we will get through this.
I'm still looking for information at URL. It's 2 days later. That was a big. Another thought occurred to me. I'm recording this program a little bit in advance, so I'm not going to be discussing latest developments out of the fire situation. But something, as I watched the coverage, did become increasingly obvious to me. There is, as everybody knows, a declining degree of faith and belief in the what is now routinely called the legacy media. And I think I stumbled upon one reason why this week. Two reports I will share with you now. One from a local reporter standing by as fire trucks arrive at a scene or watching helicopters drop water, actually saying what he or she says is going on at that moment. And the second report is one assembled for the evening news of one of the three major networks, where presumably a reporter did go out to observe something real, then took some notes, went back to his studio, typed up a script, recorded him reading the script, and you can hear the difference. First, the reporter live on the scene.
Magnet on Lake Avenue. We drove by and we were able to see some firefighters on the ground. So they are making sure that they're doing what they can. We're trying to give you a better vantage point. Renee Luna, who is manning the camera right now, is trying to find that good spot. You see the orange glow right there. That is the top of the school, Elliott Arts Magnet, on fire right now. We saw at least one fire engine down there. We also have seen CHP officers in the area. We know LA County Sheriff's deputies are in the area as well. And as we just arrived, we're still taking it all.
And now the Network Evening News report.
The entire population of Pacific Palisades ordered to evacuate, traffic gridlocked for miles. Drivers stuck beside burning hillsides, some setting out on foot, vehicles catching fire. What's going on up there?
Now, to me, it sounds like one of those is a person telling another person what they're seeing at the moment. And the second one is kind of an overly hyped, overly melodramatic documentary. But as I say, that's just me. You be the judge. Just don't give yourself jail time. Hello, welcome to the show.
Along Hollywood Boulevard, I wish my life was a non-stop Hollywood movie show. A fantasy world of celluloid villains and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die. You can see all the stars as you walk along. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. One more item regarding what's going on in Los Angeles. I'll start from my own personal experience, because I do know about that. Thursday afternoon, my family and I, and a friend, were getting out of Dodge, flying out of Los Angeles. The air there is, at the moment, particularly toxic. And you're talking to somebody who lived there in the 70s. And on our way to the airport, all of us got a message on our portable phones, on our iPhones. It was an emergency alert. It had those two little boop sounds smooshed together to get your attention. And it was an evacuation notice, not even a warning. And my companions got kind of anxious about it. Until I read the notice and saw that, unlike every other emergency alert notice I'd ever seen, this one did not describe a geographical area covered by it. Like, you know, you have to evacuate if you're within these streets. Well, maybe it's that selectively aimed that they didn't need to do that? I don't know. Anyway, you know what really happened, that launched a series of fake emergency alerts going through the night, following the next day. And you've never seen people in suits scramble as fast and as furiously as this crowd did to try to come up with an explanation, let alone a fix. What they came up with is this. There was an erroneous message sent, apparently by a human, through the system, although there has been, at least at the beginning, furious denials that a human did this. You know, somebody was speaking up for humans. And then what happened after that is that cell towers went down randomly during the fire. The equipment there had cached, with a C, with two Cs, the message, the emergency message. And when the cell tower came back up, it flushed out that message. And this happened over and over and over again. And the thought that occurred to me is there are emergencies all over the country every day. All of those areas, especially cities, have emergency alert systems. Maybe it's the same one. Maybe it's a different one. Maybe it's got something to do with the federal government. Maybe it's got something to do with the private contractor. But why has this never happened before? They are telling people in Los Angeles now, first of all, they said, don't terminate your alert system. Don't turn it off because you may need it when a real alert comes. And the next day, the information was, well, you can't anyway. That's the state of information in Southern California. At least it was when I left. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we resume a semblance of normal programming. News of the Olympic Movement. Produced by Jim Ebersol III. Well, they got problems in Paris, where the Olympics were held this year. I know we think we've got problems here, but listen to this. It's been 6 months just since the Paris 2024 Olympics. Several athletes have already publicly denounced the significant deterioration of their medals. The medals were designed by the jeweler Chaumet and produced with recycled iron from the Eiffel Tower. Critics claim the wear is due to poor material quality. Well, take it up with Eiffel. The legacy of the Paris Olympics has been called into question. What was supposed to be an eternal symbol of achievements has turned into a source of frustration for numerous medalists. They have shared images and accounts of the severe deterioration of their awards. Their testimony serves to fuel the controversy. It began even before the games concluded. Nijah Houston, American skater and bronze medalist, was one of the first to denounce the problem. Quote, these medals look great when they're new, but after using them a bit, it becomes clear that they are not of the quality one would expect. Unquote him. Use him. What do you? Oh, I know. You wear it. He highlighted that in just 10 days, his medal already showed a lamentable appearance with parts beginning to come off. Huh, I know that feeling. The problem is not limited to Houston. Athletes from different disciplines have reported similar damage. A Briton who won bronze in synchronized diving noted her medal started to show small bits of tarnishing and discoloration just a few days after receiving it. She says, I think it's water or something seeping into the metal, but I'm not sure. The situation reached a new level of notoriety when two French swimmers published images of their bronze medals. One described his medal as crocodile skin due to its scaly and worn texture. In total, more than 1,000 hexagonal-shaped medals were awarded, designed to symbolize unity and connection. However, this feature has raised doubts about the quality of the material used. Apparently, the bronze medals have a mixture of copper, zinc, and tin that accelerates the wear process. The organizing committee responded to the first complaints in August, committing to repair the damaged medals. Quote, the medals are the most precious objects of the games and will be systematically replaced with identical engravings to the originals. That's according to a spokesperson. However, recent complaints suggest that the problem persists, calling into question the solutions offered by the organizers. It's the Olympics. It's a movement. And we all need one. Every day! And postscript. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to contemplate, to focus your imagination on a city, Basel maybe another one, in Switzerland, where right now the members of the International Olympic Committee might be meeting, as I said, in your imagination. And the subject of that meeting would be, we're holding the games in Los Angeles 3 years from now? ? And calls are going out to Rio, to Beijing, to London, to Sydney. Can you do it again soon, please? And now,
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Microplastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said.
Well, you know, there's still one food that's perfectly safe to eat. Fish and seafood. There aren't any disturbing chemicals. Portland State University researchers found microplastics in Oregon seafood, highlighting the need for strategies to reduce environmental contamination. Microplastics, as you know, shed from clothing, packaging, and other plastic things and places and people, they're increasingly making their way into the fish people consume, according to this study by the researchers at that university. Findings underscore the urgent need for technologies and strategies to reduce microfiber pollution in the environment. The research had earlier studies to support that investigated the presence of microplastics in bivalves such as Pacific oysters and razor clams. Latest study shifts its focus to more commonly consumed fin fish and crustaceans. The project was led by a researcher who earned a master's degree in environmental management. The team aimed to address gaps in knowledge about microplastic contamination in Oregon's fin fish and shellfish. That's being shellfish. They also sought to examine variations across trophic levels. Those are the categories that classify a fish's position in the food chain. I guess which decides whether they get a good table. The research quantified anthropogenic particles produced or modified by humans that they found in the edible tissue of six species economically or culturally important in Oregon: black rockfish, ling cod, Chinook salmon, Pacific herring, Pacific lamprey, and pink shrimp. To me, you know, that's the best name for a rock band I've heard today. But I haven't heard. They compared particle concentrations across trophic levels and whether their position in the food web affected what and how much was contaminating their edible tissue, as well as whether there were differences in samples acquired directly from research fishing vessels versus those from supermarkets and seafood vendors. The study was published in the journal Frontiers in Toxicology. It found 1,800 suspected particles across 180 out of 182 samples. Fibers were the most abundant pieces of the stuff, followed by fragments and films. So you could actually watch the fish among the species sample, pink shrimp, which filter feed right below the surface of the water, had the highest concentration of particles in their edible tissues. Chinook salmon had the least, followed by black rockfish and ling cod. Just one word, ladies and gentlemen. microplastics.
Hate New York City. It's cold and it's damp. And all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimos. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me, you bad girl. Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty red end of my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top. Crank up the Beach Boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side.
This is Le Show from New Orleans. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of world is it? A smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
What do you... You may have heard about this week in conjunction with Donald Trump's nearing ascent to the White House. Meta used to be Facebook, but it's still Mark Zuckerberg. They announced a series of major updates to its content moderation policies this week. It's ending its fact-checking partnerships and getting rid of restrictions on speech about topics like immigration, gender identity, and identity, that the company describes as frequent subjects of political discourse and debate. Quote, "It's not right that things can be said on TV or the floor of Congress, but not on our platforms," said the company's newly appointed chief global affairs officer. Your company have one of those? In an accompanying video, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg well, I guess now I can say he's an idiot. Now I guess I can say he's a convicted bank robber, even though he isn't, but, you know, they won't stop me now. He described the company's current rules in these areas as just out of touch with mainstream discourse, unquote. And if anybody knows anything about mainstream discourse, it's a billionaire who never gets near people who aren't billionaires. In tandem with the announcement, the company made a number of updates across its community guidelines. Some of the most striking changes were to Meta's hateful conduct policy that now appears to permit users to accuse gender or gay people of being mentally ill. Company didn't respond to requests for clarification on the policy because they're freaking cowards. See, I can say that now because the Meta spokesperson Carrie Chambliss, a noted child abuser, no, you can't say that, told Wired these restrictions will be loosened globally. When asked whether the company will adopt different policies in countries with strict regulations governing hate, the hateful conduct policy previously opened by noting that hateful speech may, quote, promote offline violence, unquote. So I guess they don't want to stop that now. That sentence had been present in the policies for the last 5 years. It's been removed from the updated version released this week. So hateful speech no longer promotes offline violence. We don't know what it promotes. Maybe a couple of concerts coming up. In 2018, following reports from human rights groups, Meta admitted that its platform was used to incite violence against religious minorities in Myanmar. The update does preserve language toward the bottom of the policy, prohibiting content that could, quote, incite imminent violence or intimidation, unquote. So, you know, wait a couple of days before you beat those people up. The updates similarly preserve a number of older restrictions Meta has had in place for years. The current version of the policy maintains prohibitions on Holocaust denials, blackface, insinuations about Jewish people controlling the media. It also adds a specific ban against comparing black people to, quote, farm equipment, unquote. Mark, you're a genius. And by that, I mean anything but. Also smart, but smart in a whole new way.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip hip hooray.
He had everything in there but oy vey. Apple has already come in a fire after their new features repeatedly incorrectly summarized BBC headlines. They falsely claimed that an insurance executive alleged that killer Luigi Mangione had shot himself. This issue extends to people's personal communications. Screenshots from iPhone users show the new suite of AI-powered features appears unable to distinguish between messages sent by real individuals and organizations and fake requests made by scammers imitating others. Maybe they're sending emergency alerts. In fact, the AI-powered features may even make it harder for users to initially distinguish between real and fake messages. This is from the Australian news service Crikey. Steve, a pseudonym granted as his work has not authorized to speak to the media, was surprised to see his recently updated iPhone had prioritized and summarized an email saying he had to lodge an income statement to the tax office. This was nonsense. He was disappointed Apple's new features had flagged this obvious scam message as a priority. Quote, it's fun to make fun of AI. Yeah, but having an AI tool that's onboard millions of devices enabling scams is going to catch people out and cost them money, he said. Other people have posted similar examples on social media of this going on. The professor of AI and Analytics and Deputy Director of the Center for Data Analytics and Cognition Down Under, says Australians will be at a greater risk with these phones because people will trust Apple's summaries. Because we all still trust Apple, don't we? The same consultant said summaries might make people think things are not what they are, might make people more likely to fall for scams by removing indicators of legitimacy so that all messages, scam or not, look the same. As if Mark Zuckerberg sent them, for example. And speaking of lovable people.
Looks like Musk Love.
Well, news about Tesla. There's one now. The U.S. Highway Traffic Safety Administration has launched a probe into Tesla's software that allows cars to operate autonomously over short distances after reports of the code crashing physically. That's according to the British tech journal, The Register. Software under investigation is called Smart Summon and actually Smart Summon, and is accessed by Tesla's app. It can be used to instruct some of the vehicles to drive themselves to the location of a driver's choosing. Tesla says the code can navigate around obstacles to reach the desired destination, although only over distances of up to 100 meters. Come on, you know what that is. And suggests it's a means to do things automatically, like leave a tight parking space without having to do the parking or the unparking. Tesla's promises may be hollow, reports The Register. Multiple reports say the self-driving machines have hit with obstacles and other vehicles. 12 of these apparent accidents were by Teslas using the original Smart Summon software. 4 more incidents have been caused by customers using its successor called, really now, actually Smart Summon, including one formal complaint being investigated by the NHTSA Office of Defects Investigation. Quote, all 4 incidents involve the subject Tesla vehicles operating an actually Smart Summon, failing to detect posts or parked vehicles, resulting in a crash, according to NHTSA. The agency said it's aware of multiple crash allegations involving both Smart Summon and actually Smart Summon, and they were actually aware, where the user had too little reaction time to avoid a crash, either with the available line of sight or releasing the phone app button, which stops the vehicle's movement, unquote. Notably, the agent said it had received no reports of these alleged incidents from Tesla, which, you know, was required to disclose any accident involving a car using self-driving software on a public road, is all. But don't ask Elon about that. He's busy tweeting. The probe affects every Tesla Model S, 3, and X purchased since 2016. That's potentially 2.5 million or so vehicles. Smart Summon was widely panned after its launch in 2019 as being buggy. Well, buggy used and prone to either not working or making cars bump into objects. Thin trees seem to be a particular problem. So drive around L.A. where there are palm trees on every street. Actually, Smart Summon debuted last September, and while sentiment on Tesla forums suggests it is an improvement, issues remain. Sounds like Musk love.
Oh, I'm packing my grill, and I'm leaving today, 'cause I'm taking a trip California way. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, yes, yes, I'll be making new friends where the West begins and the sunset ends, 'cause I've decided where yours truly really ought to be, and it's the San Fernando. Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe in Dayton. She will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. Lonely journey is done, and kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. And make the San Fernando Valley my home. And make the San Fernando Valley my home.
And another kind of winter is going on simultaneously, of course. The crypto winter continues. The Arbitrum-based liquidity management project called Orange Finance, what could be wrong with that, suffered at least $840,000 in losses because hackers compromised the project's admin address, then used it to upgrade the project's smart contracts, and transfer funds. Quote, the team is not sure what happened. That's according to Orange Finance in a tweet announcing the hack. They encourage people to revoke contract approvals for the compromised addresses. So get busy on that, won't you? Orange Finance attempted to negotiate with the attacker via on-chain message, writing, quote, if you respond positively to our offer within 24 hours, we guarantee that no law enforcement agencies will be involved and the matter will be treated as a white hat hack. Didn't happen. I guess they like the black hat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Jeremy Hunt is a former health secretary in the UK. He has said that the ministers in the government took too long to introduce medical examiners to investigate deaths in the National Health Service, as he apologized to the families of the victims of one Lucy Letby. Giving evidence at an inquiry this week, the former health secretary said he had, quote, ultimate responsibility for the health service. At the time, Letby committed her appalling crime of murdering babies at the Countess of Chester Hospital in 2015 and 2016. Murdering babies, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, it happened on my watch as health secretary, and although you don't bear direct personal responsibility, for everything that happens on every ward of the NHS, National Health Service, you do have ultimate responsibility for the NHS, he said. Insofar as lessons were not learned from previous inquiries that could have been, or the right systems were not in place that could have prevented this appalling tragedy, then I do have ultimate responsibility, and I want to put on record my apology to the families for anything that didn't happen that could potentially have prevented such an appalling crime. Unquote, Jeremy Hunt. Developers in Sydney, Australia have issued an apology after bulldozing the childhood home of AC/DC rockers Malcolm and Angus Young, according to the newspaper down under, the Herald Sun. And no, you don't read it upside down. Burwood Square, a real estate firm, purchased the home a couple years ago, recently demolished it, something that shouldn't have happened because in 2013, the property was added to the National Trust list of historic homes. Company claims it was not informed of the home's historical significance. Quote, we regret that the previous long-term owner did not share this vital part of the property's background with us, said the general manager of the property company, learning about this connection after our plans were already underway, he said, has shocked us. We are genuinely sorry for this oversight. Unquote, the company went on to share its heartfelt regret at the demolition, noting, quote, we now recognize how deeply this location resonates with the AC/DC community and fans worldwide, unquote. It also said it's hoping to use material from the site to create a, quote, special space, unquote, so fans can gather to celebrate the band's enduring legacy, unquote. Might be the parking lot. And Cameron Norris flipped his tennis racket into the stands out of frustration, hitting a woman watching his classic ASB classic match in Auckland, New Zealand. The British tennis star later apologized, said he was not happy with his behavior. The incident occurred during the second set of his loss to Facundo Diaz Acosta. Yeah, I know you bet on it. Quote, I was not meaning to do that, and it is completely not me to do something like that, Norris told reporters. I apologized very quickly, and I want to apologize in general. I'm not happy with how I behaved. Unquote. The apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Direct from Mar-a-Lago, where you can talk to a judge without having to listen to him. It's your favorite near-future president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Cake Mix. Nothing rises higher. Well, almost nothing. This week, the world began to learn that under Trump 2.0, America is not only getting greater, it's getting bigger. This country is going on a shopping spree the likes of which the world has never seen or heard. I don't know if you can hear a spree. And the credit card is the barrel of a great American rifle. First, we're finally going to get Greenland. So many people have been saying to me, sir, when is Greenland going to become the 51st state? Why is it taking so long? First of all, our NATO allies, the Dutch, who haven't paid their full NATO bills since the Flying Dutchman learned to fly, have to understand that our credit card is the long part of an American cannon, whatever that's called, the cannon butt. We need Greenland because Russia and especially China, are getting involved in the Arctic. And who else is going to stop them? The Eskimos? Of course, we also need Iceland just for the ice. We have to convince our friends in Panama, and with friends like those, we don't need neighbors, that our credit card for getting our canal back is the pin part of an American grenade. You could tell the Canadians want to be part of our country. They started speaking our language even before we did. And as for Mexico, not only will the big body of water down there become the Gulf of America, isn't that a beautiful name? Say it with me. But Tex-Mex food will become Tex-Yank food, a Mexican standoff will become an American standoff, and the border city of Mexicali will become Cali-Cali. I used to know a dancer called that. What a beautiful name American standoff is, right? And nobody knows how better to turn Mexican wrestling into American wrestling than Hulk Hogan's best friend. You're listening to him. When the world is all American, they'll be playing the right kind of football, and there won't be any wars. And if there are, they'll be the best kind. American wars. That's it. Talk to you next time.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Pianos, home of the extra key. So long.
Just wait for someone like you. Down in Hollywood.
Well, if you wanna stay
Hollywood.
Be in a world of trouble now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same radio stations and over your audio device of choice, along with some fake emergency alerts. And it'll be a relief to be back here then with you. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts. I don't know why. And the music playlists, as well as so many other things to read, watch, and possibly enjoy, all at harryshearer.com. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer, and I'm on X, just to drive Elon nuts, at the Harry Shearer. Show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead, and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with this program, which needed all the help it could get. The show comes to you from Sensory of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.